In this episode, I'll talk about how sometimes pressure, deadlines, and a bit of imagination helps you break your own patterns and discover better results. So here we go, episode 264, Pressure, Deadlines, and Pretending. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello, everyone. I hope you are doing well. This episode may be more on the concise side of things, but maybe you'll appreciate that. Not everyone has 2 hours to sit down and absorb something. Anyway, it just had a little deadline sneak up on me, and I'm actually leaving to go on a hiking trip tomorrow, which I've known about for months, and I've been preparing with the packing, at least in my head. But does this ever happen to you, like with deadlines? And it's funny because this episode I'm going to be talking about the power of deadlines. So maybe this is a case in point. But I was just thinking of how like these last minute preparations, actually the part where you're actually like putting the actual things that you've been thinking about packing and you actually get them and put them in the bag. Like, I'm always amazed at how long that can take. I consistently underestimate that. And it's funny because I feel like I've been preparing in my head. I've been thinking about what I'm going to pack and what I'm going to wear and what I need. But it's, some of you will get this. This scene popped into my head for those of you who are Monty Python fans. So there's a scene in The Holy Grail where Lancelot is running up to, I think it's the Swamp Castle. And the scene is of the two guards outside the castle. I think one of them is eating an apple or something. And they're looking in the horizon at the tree line, and you can see somebody running. And it's Lancelot, and he's like running, 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 running. And then the scene cuts to the guards just watching. They're looking at him. And then it cuts back to Lancelot running, but it's the same scene. So he's running, 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 but he hasn't gotten any closer. But they're watching him. They know he's coming. And then it flashes. The next scene is the guards again, just staring at him. And then it's Lancelot running, but he's in the same place. And then the next scene is Lancelot has like pounced on them and like speared them. That's what deadlines sometimes feel like to me. It's like we see them coming. We know they're coming. We know there's something we got to do. And then suddenly, how did it get here? Anyway, that's what I was thinking about this evening as I was packing. I was thinking I felt like the guard in front of the Swamp Castle about to get speared by Lancelot. Anyway, I shall be ready on time first thing tomorrow morning. But that's not why I'm here talking to you. I'm here because today I wanted to talk about something that I wrote. I wrote in an email and a Facebook post, and I had several people say that they really liked what I wrote and they found it really helpful and interesting. So I thought I'd just expand upon it, and not everybody reads my emails or my posts on Facebook. So we're here. All right. So the idea is that as much as I prefer to operate as if I had all the time in the world, I mean, that's often what we are striving for with horses. We want to have that sense of endless time, right? And not be a predator with something that they've got to get done and this like straight line New Yorker heading to the subway kind of vibe, right? We want to be like, we got time. We're not trying to get anywhere. So I love that vibe. But as much as I prefer to operate in that realm as if I had all the time in the world, the truth is deadlines work. right? We could talk about going on a hiking trip someday, and it would probably never happen. But we put a date on the calendar, and we're going to go. And as much as I prefer to set up learning environments that have very little pressure, the truth is some kinds of pressure can really cause us to rise to the occasion. And as important as it is to be rooted in the present moment, I mean, that's not just for horses. That's a constant strive. Can you strive to be in the present moment? No, it's more like a letting go to be in the present moment. But as much as important as that is to be rooted in this present moment, because now is the only time anything is happening, right? So it makes sense. It's not woo-woo. It just makes sense. Now is the only time we have to act. So we've got to be here. As much as that is true, the truth is sometimes pretending you're in a different moment and pretending you're a different person in a different moment can actually help you to conjure up a new pattern or a new result. So the bottom line is, if you want to break a pattern, you have to do something differently. And so I always like to think about what are the dials you can turn, right? And it's nice to know what kind of dials you can turn, right? So you can play with deadlines versus no deadlines. You can play with degrees of pressure. And you can play with how much you're focused on only what's here and now, or can you expand your imagination and do a little bit of pretending? Profound, right? To break a pattern, you have to do something differently. So for myself, I spend most of my training time at home, mostly riding alone with few deadlines, which to me is bliss. However, I often invent deadlines and I invent pressure for myself and I invent imaginary scenarios. So what does that actually look like in practice? So I might pick a day where the goal is to have a best day on that day, right? So if I'm not competing, or if I don't have a performance scheduled, then I might just pick a day. Like, I'm going to plan my week so that Friday, and I often pick Friday because my horses have the weekend off. So I might say, okay, on Friday, I would like to have a best day. I'm going to treat it a little bit like a performance or a competition. And so in my training plan mastery lab, where I help people make training plans with the Happy Athlete Progress Journal, I talk about the arc of the story and the theme for the week. And sometimes with a horse, I'll have this arc of the story and I want to end with Friday being a best day, not a day where I'm going to deconstruct, not a day where I'm going to break things apart, not a partnership day. You know, I'm just going to say, all right, whatever I've been working on, I'd love to have the arc of the story and plan my training so that on that day, I can appropriately perform, hopefully to the best of our ability, whatever it is, whether it's a piece of a test from, you know, dressage test, or it's just a pattern that I made up. But I'm like, okay, I've been working on that 3-loop serpentine with change lead through the trot, and I'm going to deconstruct it during the week, and I'm going to practice the coordination so that on Friday, I feel like there's going to be a competition of 3-loop serpentines with change lead through the trot, and whoever wins gets $1 million. All right, so I have a deadline. And if I want to, I can say on Friday at 10:13, I would like to perform my serpentine. And so the nice thing is, number one, I didn't have to pay any money to go enter a show to do that. Like, I can judge myself plenty. I can put enough pressure on myself all by myself. But you can also, because it's not a show, well, even at a show you can do this, but you can say, if it's not working, it's not working. Oh, well, I tried to do it. Maybe I'll be ready at 10:21 instead. Or maybe it's just like, can't put it together for whatever reason, I'll just ride today so tomorrow's better, and then the next time I'll try it. But it's really, really helpful to find ways to put a date on the calendar and challenge yourself just to see if you can. And it can go a number of ways. So for some people, just putting a self-imposed deadline on their own calendar with nobody else knowing about the deadline can add enough anxiety that it becomes a challenge. And so then you want to practice that. It's a low stakes practicing of a deadline. And so if having a, you know, if you're one of the people that when you put a date on the calendar, you start to, you know, feel a tightness in your chest, then you definitely want to practice it. A low stakes practicing of setting and meeting deadlines. Because here's the thing is that you can, like I said, you can change your mind, right? And if it's not creating anxiety, then it's just really good training information. So, you know, I can fiddle and play and refine and, you know, do stuff like that for my whole life and get really lost in it. And sometimes I just need to put it on the calendar. Like, well, if I did a dressage test tomorrow, which one would it be? And could I do it? Or if I wanted to show off my horse, like, what would I do? Can I think about that? And you can get valuable information, right? So if I think, all right, on Friday at 10:14, I'm going to perform fill in the blank. And then I can do the week, strategize and try to be able to meet that. And then I can warm up that day. And then I get information because it either worked or it didn't. But I might not know that. That might be information I wouldn't get unless I put a date on the calendar. So you can do it with a friend. You can just do it with yourself. Write it down for your own accountability. But you can try it. It's amazingly effective, or it's effective in giving you information. It might not work and immediately make everything better. It might make things worse, but that's really, really valuable information. And so with that deadline, there's a little bit of pressure built into that. You can do other ways of building a little bit of pressure around timing. Sometimes I will set a timer when I get on. And this is something you can kind of ease yourself into. So sometimes I'll get on and I'll just, sometimes I use my Apple Watch and I'll just start like a run, the thing that tracks like if you're going for a run. And so it's just running there. It tracks my heart rate. It tracks how long I've, you know, the distance traveled and how much time's gone by. Because sometimes if I look at my watch and I go, oh, I'm starting at, you know, 9:30 and then time goes by, I might kind of forget, like, wait, what time was it that I started? Because time can pass when you're in that endless time realm. So I like to have that running. And then I can really measure as I'm going, like, okay, my warm-up's done. Glance at my watch. Oh, 12 minutes have gone by. Okay, it took me 12 minutes between when I got on and when I was warmed up enough to do whatever it was I was thinking of doing. So you can do it backwards by just noticing time. So again, I said it's really nice to have endless time. However, sometimes endless time is easy it slips away from you. So this is playing with not having endless time and adding a little bit of pressure, because now not just deadlines of the day, but you can start playing with, all right, I'm going to set a timer and have it like an alarm, like a countdown timer where an alarm goes off. And it's like, all right, I'm going to set my timer for 10 minutes. And my goal is to be warmed up, you know, before the thing goes off. Or I'm going to try to get XYZ exercises done within this amount of time. And the tricky part is to have that scenario set up and not start to rush. So it's the feeling of rushing that doesn't work with horsemanship. I mean, horses feel it and they're like, what are you, nuts? So there's an art to doing things in a way that you're really aware of time, but you're not rushing. And that takes practice. I was playing a little game with myself this past week because I found myself like I'd walk out of the house and, you know, the girls are sort of Natia and Solana are right outside my kitchen door. So I always wave to them in the morning when I'm off to feed them. And I'd be like, hey, girls. And then I might say something like, I'll be there in like 2.5 minutes. And I'd say something like that. Or I'd be like, oh, I'll be back in, you know, just give me a minute. And then I started wondering how accurate I was. So I'd play a little game of trying to guess. So I go into the barn and often the crows are in there looking for their peanuts, but sometimes they're not. And so I'll gather the horse food. The other day I gathered the horse food. I headed out with the golf cart and then I saw the crows flying in. I'm like, okay, crows, don't worry, I'll be back in. And I was like, wonder how long I should tell them. And so I guess I was like, I'm going to be back in 4.5 minutes. And then I didn't rush because I didn't know if 4.5 minutes was, you know, longer or shorter than it would take. So I just set a little timer, went about my business, and I started clocking how accurate my guesstimations were. And sometimes I was wildly off, and sometimes, you know, I was pretty amazingly close. So it's kind of a fun game to play to be able to be that aware of time without feeling rushed, without it adding undue pressure. So just more about awareness. And then you can learn about your horse. And this is going to be especially helpful for people who are doing competitions because, you know, you have to do things at a certain time and you want to get a little bit of a feel for how long things actually take. And for me, that way I don't have to lie to my crows and my horses and my dog when I tell them when I'll be back. Anyway, so that's just something else you can play with. And recently I just added a new video to the video classroom and it plays with this sort of feeling of time and timing and a little bit of pressure. And it also connects with what I'm about to tell you, which is to invent scenarios. So we're kind of inventing scenarios anytime we give ourselves a deadline because we don't really have a deadline, right? I'm just making it up. I just picked Friday at 10:14, but that's imaginary. So that's an invented scenario. And you can get even more creative with these invented scenarios. So there's the video I just added. If you're in the classroom, you can find it under transitions. It's called Clearer Canter Departs in 26 Seconds. Now, you guys are probably going to notice that the video is much longer than 26 seconds. So it's a lovely horse and rider who have a really beautiful connection. And they wanted it, her request was to improve the canter depart and get it just more clear, more energetic. And so I was watching what they had and it was like so close. It was just so close. And I gave her some tips and things to do and it was getting a little bit better, but it was definitely stuck in this pattern. Like she couldn't break through to get the like, yes, you know, where it's just trot, 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 ba-boom, canter in the nicest way. So, and she was very conscientious rider, very not wanting to, you know, over push her horse. She, you know, she wanted to explain it to him. But so after watching a little bit, I thought, you know, let me, instead of just telling her, hey, she needs to really call upon him a bit more, I invented a scenario. And I thought that she could be more efficient in her preparation for the canter, but really more like there's how you ride a transition, but sometimes we need to train a little bit so that something's happening a little bit better so that then we can just ride it the way we want. And so I invented a scenario and I said, okay, we're going to have a competition. And the competition is when I say go, whoever canters immediately is going to get $1 million. Right? So you want your horse like really ready and waiting. I was like, but you can't canter before I say. So like ready and waiting, this little magical thing. And I said, however, you get to cheat and you get to do a little preparation right now before the contest starts. And I said, I'm going to give you a minute and a half to prepare, to say to your horse, hey, buddy, this is really important. Like, we're in a competition. We're going to get $1 million. I can buy so many horse treats. Like, come on, dude, let's do it. And of course, your horse doesn't know what's going to happen. So what would you do in those 90 seconds to try to warm up and get prepared and let your horse have the message that, like, this is really important and you can totally do it. You're so close. We just need that extra little something. And so what you'll see in the video is, you know, what it looked like before, where it was like, ooh, almost, ooh, almost, ooh, almost. And it was one of those like, okay, do it again, do it again, do it again. I'm like, ooh, this isn't changing. And when I gave her that scenario, to her credit, she really thought about it and she asked some questions and she made some changes and then she headed out. And so the idea was she's going to do some preparation. And then when she said she thought she was ready, then I would do the like, okay, ready, get set, boom, canter. And what happened in her preparation is 26 seconds later, she just like nailed it and got the transition she was looking for. And then we were done. So it's a really good example of just adding a little bit of pressure. I mean, there's $1 million riding on it and you only have a minute and a half to prepare. It's imaginary pressure, but we could, you know, if you kind of get into it, you can do that. And it worked. So it was just a little, you know, what's it going to take to bring a little internal oomph to it? And sometimes it's just that mindset shift, because if you don't make the mindset shift and you simply add stronger aids, it often doesn't work. Where on the other hand, if you really make the inside shift and the energetic shift and the confidence shift, sometimes it works and you don't even have to use more aids. Often you can use less. And so those are sort of scenarios I'll use. I'll leave a link to that video in the show notes. And there's another video in particular in the video classroom where I create a scenario and I ask the student to pretend that they are a world famous, you know, 4 or 5 time Olympian, and they are teaching a clinic for novice riders, and they're demonstrating on a horse who's learning whatever it is they're trying to do, and they need to explain, you know, how to improve it out loud. So it's awkward. Not everybody feels comfortable doing this. I'm sure people have not liked that I did it, but everybody ends up laughing and ends up successful in the end. So you got to keep it lighthearted, right? You got to keep it fun. But it's like, how, you know, what perspective do you need to come from to just not ride around going, it's not working, I don't get it. If I see a rider who has the tools and they just don't realize they have the tools, or they just have to approach it with more confidence, that's when I'll do it. And so I'll put a link to that video also in the show notes, where, you know, again, it's one of those lessons. It's like the rider's getting frustrated. It's sort of almost there for a little too long. It's like, what needs to change? And I didn't think it needed stronger aids. It just needed more confidence. And with the confidence will be better timing. And that's what'll start to change things. Better timing to help the horse when they need help, and better timing to tell the horse yes when they need to hear yes. So those links will be in the show notes to those two videos. You might want to just pop over there and see those, what that means to have those scenarios. And with the 26 second one, to just add a little bit of positive pressure in an imaginary way. I mean, she knew there were no consequences and she knew I wasn't going to give her $1 million, but we can pretend. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. But this is something I do also just between me and my horses. That if it's something where I feel like the horse needs to just muster up a little more something, instead of using stronger aids, I might approach it and, you know, I'm coming down to do our shoulder in or a half pass or even just some little transitions, walk and trot. I might say out loud, like, oh my goodness, this Cora is the most important thing a horse has ever done. This is so sophisticated. It is so impressive when horses can do this. This is, and I'll literally be riding down going, you're going to nail this. This is, oh my God, so many people are impressed. I'm going to have to like send out a press release. You know, you have to try to make it real. But if you're laughing and thinking I'm ridiculous, just try it. Just try it. If you feel like you need to cheerlead a little for your horse or make them, you know, help them focus a little more. Because, I mean, really, it's doing it to ourselves. We're telling ourselves, this is fun, this is exciting, this is a little bit ridiculous, but like this shoulder in just feels really important right now. Shoulder ins are never important. I mean, we're riding around on horses. The world's not going to end if we don't do a shoulder in. But we want to do it well. We want to step up. We want to, you know, so I think it's okay to be that little bit of ridiculous and a little bit of, you know, pretending. So again, as much as we want to be here in this moment embodying our true selves and beings, maybe we can be someone else for a moment and help our horse be someone else for a moment. You know, some I used to tell Ovation, it's like, you are the world famous, you know, paint stallion of Reddick, and you are the sexiest horse that, and, you know. I swear it works. Anyway, if you're laughing, try it. And if you're laughing because it sounds like fun, try it. And if you're laughing because you think I'm weird, try it. All right, well, I'm going to go finish packing. And I hope you play around with this because the right use of deadlines and pressure and even imaginary scenarios can really help. They can help you make improvements in often surprising ways. So have fun and let me know how it goes. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.